This is Independent Librarian Dynamic, Sean Kennedy, the fucking man. And I have made an amazing discovery. I'm at an ongoing grid right now. Stay tuned. Something strange is happening. Nothing is what it seems to be. Everything you know about this series that you're listening to right now is wrong. Something's changing. Something's happening. I can't talk right now. Unknown grid. This is episode 2, take 2. Time date at this time are unavailable. I'm in an awkward zone. Stay tuned. Hello, Internet. Sean Kennedy here. I just got back from Dave's Army Surplus, feeling pretty good about myself because I managed to get my hands on some weird old manuals. And looks like the cover's been ripped off, and I'm looking through it, and they got electrodes on. I got to get a scanner on these things so you guys can see this. But they got all kinds of weird diagrams about putting wires in these, like, 1950s guys' heads and stuff like that. It's amazing. I don't know where these manuals are from, but pretty cool stuff. Anyway, I'm going to get a chance to read these. Just wanted to say, hey, it is currently Monday, and I'm feeling all right. So stay tuned for what happens next. Trying to make sense of these manuals that I picked up from Dave's. It's now timestamp is 3/10/2004. It is now 22:1500 hours. I'm at an unknown grid, another parking lot. This one's in Coquitlam. Anyways, I'm trying to figure out these manuals that I picked up from Dave's. They're going through them. I thought it was some kind of manual on antennas, because they've got a lot of charts in here about electronic frequencies and stuff like that. And they're talking about reception and targets, patients, things like that. It's pretty heady stuff, and a lot of it is almost more math than it is language. But they're saying they're talking about some kind of a project from a place called Montauk. I guess that's how you say it, M-O-N-T-A-U-K. I've never heard of that. So if anybody knows anything about that, I suppose they could probably get back to me. But the Montauk project is what this project was based on, or something. I mean, I'm missing the first, I don't know how many pages, because this is the weird part. The manual isn't numbered. Like, none of the pages have numbers, so you have to kind of, like, it's in sequence and everything, but it's like, I don't know if I have the complete manual. I don't know if it's part of the manual. Very, very weird. I've never really seen a manual like it. So, it's got a lot of pretty crazy diagrams. I think the whole thing is actually got something to do with like brain programming, and they talk a lot about magnetic field of the mind, which I guess makes sense. I mean, the human mind is electrical, right, and therefore produces like a magnetic field. You're gonna have to forgive me here because I've got no formal training on electronics, but I guess everything electrical to some degree puts out some kind of a magnetic field, and that's what this. If you affect that magnetic field, you can actually affect the electrical processes of the mind. So what they're talking about here, from what I've gathered, is how to chart not so much programming, but the way the mind works in relation to magnetic fields. So, if that makes sense to anyone, we'll have to see. I've been kind of toying with it off and on. I mean, I don't know what. I haven't gotten into the instructional parts, because there's some parts in the back that talk about, building some devices and stuff and some measurements. But, again, there's a lot of Greek letters in there. I don't really know what's going on. I should probably scan the whole thing in and put it online. See where it goes. 3/11/2004, it's 1708. It's a Thursday. Doing some thinking, checking on my notes. I'm at my house currently. The logs, you know, if we're ever going to try to get anywhere or do anything, we're going to need to make sure we got some parameters set up, guidelines. You know, you'd be thinking it'd be pretty easy to crank out 10 commandments, you know. Some crazy Jewish dude climbs a mountain, cranks out 15 of them, and, you know, comes back down. You'd think it'd be just too easy, but see, I like keeping things really, really simple, you know. It's hard to set up a good set of parameters, you know, because if you make them too difficult to live with, no one's going to live with them, and your base laws are not gonna work. So I've had to give it a lot of thought as to what the parameters have to be for the WOG movement. And by the same token, you have to make sure that you don't make people enforcing laws turn to hatred, because then you wind up getting, like, you know, weird religious police and stuff like that, like what they got in Afghanistan and Iraq and all those countries. So the way I see it, these are my parameters. I've made them up. I'll go through them first, then I'll go back over them again here. Be gentle. Be kind. Know your dose. Never doubt your enhancement. Respect life. Seek the truth. Fear is a myth. One WOG, one kit. Suffering is horrible. And nothing useful comes from hatred. That doesn't even sound like rules, do they? Sound like statements or almost instructions, but I suppose that's probably what they are. Starting from the top, be gentle. What does that mean? Well, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Don't be, like, you want to be gentle with things, you know? In all matters of your life, try to be as gentle as you can. Because when you get all angry and stuff, it's hard. When you're on the edge and you're exploring and you're on tasking, you know, when you're out in the bush and that, sometimes it's hard for me to be gentle. I try to be as gentle as I can with people and with things I don't understand and things that are fragile. Most people in our society are fragile. You know, so you've got to look a little deeper than what that just said, more than just be gentle. Well, what is gentle? And what does being gentle mean? You know, like a gentleman, a gentlewoman, what is it? What is that all about? So I'll let people fight over that, but I think that you can't really get too... You can't. It's pretty hard to corrupt. Be gentle. Be kind is another one. Now, you can be kind about a great many things. You can still eat meat and be kind, you know. You can be kind in war, believe it or not. You can do that, too. I mean, kindness is one of those things. Being kind and gentle are you know, those are things based in love, so it's kind of a good thing to keep as a parameter. Know that you can be gentle, but, you know, ever heard of killing me softly? So being kind has to do more with intent than it does with action. Know your dose. Now, this is a nice way of saying all things in moderation. But you have to know what moderation is. You have to know what too much is, and you have to know what too little is. You got to be able to keep track of that. Because if you can't, whatever you're dosing will control you. And then be that pornography, be that the internet, be that video games, be that television, be that advertising. You know, you've got to know where your limits are. That's why the whole fasting thing, where you cut yourself off, where you can see what the parameters of yourself are, that's what the whole fasting thing is about. We'll try to touch on that a little bit later. Also, never doubt your enhancement. This is a big thing. People go, enhancement, what the hell does that mean? Well, the fact that you are asking questions about your life, the fact you're not, you know, just watching wrestling on television and, you know, having yucks and drinking beer, the fact that you are trying means that you are, as a person, enhanced, you know what I mean? Like, because there's not a lot of people care, but you care. The fact you care makes you special. And that sounds really hokey, but it is, in fact, the truth. Look about it. You know how many people live their lives day to day, and they never even think about it? There could be something more. There could be another way to live your life. Maybe that, you know, everything we're doing is kind of wrong. You know when people do that? Like, everybody does that. But you're a little different. You know, you think things... You don't know what's really... What to do, but you know that what they're doing isn't really the best idea. You know that. That's not hard to see. You know, I mean, where's the... So it's, don't doubt your enhancement, don't doubt yourself. Respect life. Life, anything alive, okay, is amazing. Do you know how much in the universe, like if we go outside the little blue ball, do you know how much in the universe is dead? Do you have any idea how much dead stuff there is? Seek the truth. What the hell does that mean? Seek the truth. What is the truth? Is the truth clinically proven? Is it clinically tested or is it clinically proven? You could clinically test anything, couldn't you? Seeking truth means that you look for the facts. You look for what really is, what is undeniable. The truth is undeniable. That's how you know what the truth is. You must always seek that and then use that as your basis for decisions. Fear is a myth. Now, you'll notice in this list of parameters that I haven't numbered any of them. I haven't numbered any of them because, well, You don't need, each parameter is just as important as the other. It's up to the individual to put them into the sequence that makes the most sense for their life. I know what I'm saying here is true. I know that fear doesn't exist. And if we can just convince ourselves that there is no reason to be afraid of anything, like people are going, what are you talking about, Sean? Fear exists. Now, imagine for a minute, fear isn't a real thing. Fear is just simply aggression. Okay, it's a cautionary means. You know what I mean? Fear is something that your body uses to release adrenaline to prepare you for battle, right? That's entirely what fear is. That's the purpose of fear. But isn't that the same thing as aggression? Aggression is controlled fear, right? So I put it to you that we don't really need fear anymore. As long as you are trained, you should be able to handle whatever is thrown at you because you've been trained for it. Well, then that brings us to fear of the unknown. Well, I'm going to leave it for, you know, apes and animals in the forest to be afraid of that which they don't understand. I don't think we should be afraid of that which we do not understand. We should be inquisitive and brave and like, probing towards it. I don't think we should be afraid of it. I think, if anything, we should probably be aggressive towards what we don't understand. Not violent, but aggressive. Don't take any shit. What's going on? What's really going on? We don't know the truth about what's going on, so why don't we get aggressive about that? Why don't we start getting a little guerrilla about how we find out what's going on? Hackers up and down, their only crime is curiosity. Well, great. If you're going to start being a hardcore hacker, I guess you better start learning what it is to, well, be a librarian. To distribute knowledge, because that's what hackers do, right? They're like Robin Hood for the everyday man. That's what the whole hacking thing is about. Everyone's all wondering what that is. Hacking is seeking the truth without fear. One log, one kit. Man, let me tell you, this is something that I have struggled with. You would think that me being Mr. Kit God, I'd be able to hold on to all my gear. That is not the case. I keep giving all my stuff away. True. I'll save up money for months and months and months, and I'll buy something and I just give it to somebody, and I don't know why I do it. I guess I feel bad for them, or I want them to think I'm cool, maybe. I don't know why I do that, but I keep doing it. And it'd be okay if it was with, like, Lifesavers or something like that, you know? But, I mean, when you do that with, like, a $250 knife, it starts to get expensive, you know, because you keep replacing your good gear. Gifts are an amazing thing. Gifts are really, really cool. Especially ones that people put a lot of thought into. I think a gift is as cool as how much thought went into it, you know what I mean? Like, the amount of effort that went into it, you know? That's what it should be about. But anyway, getting off topic. One log, one kit. What does that mean? It means that you must have your own list of stuff, and you must know where your stuff is. Keep track of your stuff. Your stuff is important. Keep it ready. You never know what tomorrow's going to bring, man. You never know what tomorrow is going to bring. You got to make sure you got to know where your next meal's going to come from. You got to make sure you're going to know where you're going to sleep. Even if you lived in the same house for 15 years, especially if you've lived within the same house within 15 years. Because if you get thrown cold into the street, you're going to become food for some greater creature. So you got to be prepared for that. Be prepared, but don't be afraid. Suffering is horrible. This is a truth, parameter, and statement. There is no reason whatsoever for all the meat that we have on our tables to be suffering. Those animals should be living a life that is refined and constrained and all the rest of it, that's fine, but they shouldn't suffer. Now, suffering gives it, it has to do with consciousness. Do plants suffer? Well, no. Why not? Because they're not conscious. Or so the debate continues. I don't want to go down that road. But we're going to just assume now that suffering, things that can scream in agony, things that have a face, you know, if they're suffering, there's no greater horror than that. Fear is born of suffering. You see how that works? And from fear comes hatred. If you eliminate fear from the fear, hatred, and suffering triangle, the triangle can't exist, and therefore the other two lose power. Draw that out on a piece of paper. You got fear, suffering, and hatred. That is the essence of evil right there. That triangle. Now, the really good thing here is that we've tried to destroy hatred. Not going to happen. Why? Because there's too much fear and too much suffering. We've tried to destroy suffering, but that's not going to work. Because, well, you know, we got too much fear and hatred. So what do? We can't destroy hatred. We can't destroy suffering. What if we destroy fear? What if we rule out fear? What if we just deny it? I'm not afraid. Well, you can't climb that mountain. Yes, I can. I got all the gear right here. But you'll die. Why? I have all my gear. I have everything I need. I even have rescue flares. No, but aren't you afraid of what could happen? No. I do not know fear. I embrace the unknown. That is the idea there. Nothing useful comes from hatred. Now, we can't eliminate hatred. Hatred is a great human tradition. We love to hate. Oh, man, there's few things on this planet that I can't speak for all people of the world. I'm a white guy. And actually, I'm more than that. I'm born of an Irish-British descent, so I'm about as white as it gets. And, we love to hate, you know. Wow, white people love hating stuff, and we get all righteous about it, too, you know. We get all, like, up and high and mighty, and we're like, God, you know, we always bring God into it, right? God knows, and he gave us this earth, and we are the caretakers, therefore above everyone else. And, you know, we are the ones who are supposed to look after these poor people all around the world, you know. And we will hate our enemy. That's like a big part of white culture is hatred. I would say it's part of human culture, because I think all cultures might have that, but I don't know. I can only speak for me, because I'm a white guy. And, whatever. It's weird when you try to be exacting like that, isn't it? With, like, the whole politically correct thing. I mean, does it even make sense? Does the whole racism thing really make sense? I don't think it makes any sense, really. I think that is another hatred, suffering, fear thing. I don't know. I think it's probably a communication thing. That's one of the reasons why the internet is one of the greatest things ever invented. But anyway, nothing useful comes from hatred, man. You see? Think of everything that hatred brings. Now find one thing useful about hatred. Well, I had a teacher I hated once, and because I hated him so much, I worked extra hard, and, I was successful in that class. Okay. But how much damage did that hatred motivation do to you? I mean, that would start a germination seed that would, like, run your whole life. You're only going to work for people you hate for? What kind of a, whoa, hey, no, that's deeply, deeply damaging. Not good. Hatred is not the same as anger. See, a lot of people think anger is bad. I don't think anger is bad. And I think there's a big difference between anger and hatred. You know? Some people say that, God hates things. No, God doesn't hate anything. God's angry with stuff. That's why people used to say, Sean, you look really angry. Yeah? So what's wrong with being intense? Is that what anger is? Is anger just intensity? I mean, I don't understand. But hatred... Hatred is, it's a sickness. It's something that is born purely of fear. If we could just eliminate that, well, we'd have this thing nailed down pretty tight. Try to imagine how crazy I look right now, hunkered down over a tape recorder. It's plugged into the wall with a remote mic, checking my email. What a bizarre image that's going to be for when my wife gets through the door. Got some email here. See, I do actually read my email. I had to prove that, so I figured now would be an opportune time. Got one here from Reagan. Sean, listening to the new episode of Tales from the Afternow that you just released, I have to say that I'm impressed. More impressed than the very first time I heard your voice, and I wanted to say thank you. Well, I don't know what you'd thank me for. It's not like I got any control of the sound of my voice. Matter of fact, you should record yourself sometime and play it back and say what your own voice sounds like. I've yet to meet anyone who thinks that their own voice sounds cool. But I've never really understood what people find impressive about what it is that I do. I mean, I guess I'm unique in how I do it. But it's very important that you don't think that I don't have any special talents. That's why what I do is cool, I think. That's why I think what I do is cool, is that anybody could do what I do. And I think that everybody should. And that's my arrogant problem. Anyway, she goes on here to say, although I may not agree with everything you say, I agree in the moral and right values of which you spoke. I respect very much your view of the world and appreciate what you are doing to help make it better. Please let me know if there's anything I can help you with, and feel free to contact me at any time. By the way, I came back to rant. She actually spelled it right. So, by the way, I came back to Rant Radio recently, and my new show on Fridays called Shoutbox. It's not the best, but I'm trying to do my part. Sincerely, Reagan, a.k.a. Kaizi Saul, who's going to be changing her name because I just totally compromised her security, but Kaizi Saul's been floating around for forever, so she's doing anything, she should probably be changing her security name anyway. Well, Reagan, thanks, man. But why are you so concerned with it's not the best? It's not the best, but I'm trying to do my part. Why do we always call down everything we do? Does anyone know that? Does I call down what I do? Hell, I just called it down just now. Just right now, I just called that down. Why do we do that? Why do we call our stuff down? Why do I do that? I don't know. Why. Let me think about this for a minute. Why did I just do that? Well, I guess it's because I don't want to appear arrogant. You know? Is that what it is? Is that a fear-based thing? I'm afraid the other person's going to think I'm arrogant? Well, it's possible, Sean. You know, they could might think you're arrogant. I mean, after all, you do parade around the universe calling yourself the fucking man, don't you? Yeah, that's true. What an odd, odd state of affairs. Don't really know what to say. Well, if it's not the best, actually, it should be the best, Reagan, because it should be the best that you can do. That, I think, is what the best is. Oh, isn't that Sesame Street? No, think about it. If it's the best you can do, then that is the best you can do. If a guy, you know, becomes a president of the United States, and he does the best job he can we really fault the bastard for it? I mean, seriously, what if, let's say George Bush, let's pretend for a minute that that guy is doing the best job he can. Let's assume for a second the President of the United States is concerned with his job. Maybe, no matter how fucked his moral values are or what his brain capacity is, no matter what that is, he knows his job is important on the base level, okay? He knows he's the man. So what do you suppose he's going to try the best he can to do what's right for the people of the country? Even if he's part of secret organizations and there's people pulling his strings and aliens got control of everything and whatever. Never mind any of that shit. Where the metal meets the meat, the President of the United States of America knows he is in a lot of shit because he's making decisions that affect the lives of millions of people all over the world. Do you think it's easy to be like a banker or one of these business tycoons? Motherfucker. Every single day, your ass is on the line? Could you imagine an existence like that? Wow. So no wonder they, you know, a lot of people in power drink so damn much. The stress has got to kill these guys. So I'm not worried about whether or not a show's the best. I just, anyone who wants to help out with the WOG movement, anyone who wants to do that, they just have to do their best at whatever it is that they do. And if that happens, try to imagine the world we could make. Try to imagine what that would look like. It'd be the most powerful thing you'd ever see. Three twelve 2004. Time is now 23:15. It's been an interesting night out here. I'm at my movie theater parking lot grid. I don't know if I should tell you this or not. Like, no shit, I don't know if I should put this out. You gotta understand that, like a lot of what I do as Sean Kennedy, fucking man, it's not bullshit, but it's not... it's a lot of effort, you know. Like, I have good days and I have bad days like the rest of us, you know. Like, it's not a job. It's not like I'm lying to people or anything like that. But, you know, sometimes I fuck up. And I don't know if I fucked up or not tonight. I might have fucked up really, really bad. But I believe that the truth is a really, really beautiful thing. And I think that it'll probably save my ass here. See, I saw something happen tonight that, it was bizarre what happened tonight, you know. And it all started with a brown bag. See, I was in the parking lot here and I watched these two kids. They were both like these two Caucasian kids, probably, I don't know, between the ages of 15 and 21. One had short, blonde, spiky hair. Was wearing a neon multicolored, like a ski jacket with some white pants. Had two chicks laying back to back, running down the sides of the pants, like the trucker chic thing going on. And I didn't get a good look at the one who was driving. Anyway, the one with the pants and the brightly colored coat, he was carrying this brown bag. It was like a 70 chic retro bag or something like that. Anyway, he got out of the car. The car was a Beamer. I should mention that. I didn't get a plate or anything like that, because I didn't notice anything was weird until the guy got out of the car. I probably should have tried to get a plate, but I just didn't think of it. It's funny how you miss things like that. Anyway, so, yeah. He's walking, and he walks by the front of the movie theater, which is why I thought it was weird, because he's got this bag, right? So he walks by the movie theater, and then he walks up to this little red Toyota, you know? And he gets inside the driver's side, and he's doing something inside the car. Now, I was driving when I seen him, okay? And he did something, and he put the bag in the back seat, and then he got out of the car. You know what I mean? Like, he just left the bag and walked away. Not even 5-10 minutes later, I watched the guy walk away, and I saw another car, not the Beamer, zip by, pick up the guy, and he drove away. So, like I was saying, like, not 10 minutes later, this lowered, like, rice burner car, like, you know, those import cars that are all, like, we call them rice burners up here, they're all Asian, and they got, like, the big, you know, sushi bar spoiler on the back, and decals all over, and it's blacked out windows, that whole gig. Anyway, one of these cars pulls up, and this little Asian guy gets out and jumps inside the driver's seat of the same little red Toyota, reaches back, grabs the brown bag, jumps out of the car, jumps back in the little rice burner car, and that car drives away. So I was like, holy cow, what did I just see here? And I didn't even realize what I just watched until, you know, it got past. So anyway, I sat there and I watched for a long time. And I didn't see anyone, you know. Nobody came up to the car. There was no one in the parking lot. So I got out of my car and I started walking around, looking all casual, you know. Like, I was looking at all the cars, making sure that, you know, everything was okay, because that's my job. I'm a security guard here. And when I got to that little red Toyota, the driver's side door, it was locked, but the passenger side door was unlocked. And I made it really obvious that I was checking, you know. And then I opened the passenger side door. And it's funny, when you open a passenger side door, you always look down. You ever notice that first thing you see when you open the passenger side door is the floor? It's funny, people try to hide stuff under the passenger seat, but it's funny, when you open the car, it's the first thing you look at, it's the floor. Now, in the parking lot of this movie theater, there's amber lights, eh? It's like not that white light, it's like that kind of yellowy sort of light. And it reflected something that was on the floor. And I remembered that the guy had shuffled around, you know, like he'd done something in the car. And then he put the, you know, the bag in the back. Anyway, so he, when the little Asian guy got in, I guess he didn't look around. He just reached back and he grabbed the bag and he left the car. And they left that thing sitting there. When I opened the door, I looked down on the floor, and there was a reflection, and I crouched, and my heart stopped when I saw it. It was just laying there on the floor. I don't know if you know anything about guns, but it's a, I believe, it's a Model 1911 45 pistol. And, I think by Colt. Colt 1911 pistol. It's got a nickel plating on it. That's what caught the light. I think it's nickel. It could be stainless, but I'm pretty sure it's nickel. But it's a little pitted, you know? And, I don't really know what I did after that, to be honest with you. If you ask me what happened, I mean, my heart stopped and everything just turned into drills. Something that happens to me from time to time when I'm in really high crisis situations, you know, that I'm not in control of. Things just start acting kind of bizarre, and I sort of let my body take over. Anyways, I just, you know, I stared at it, you know, for a couple of seconds and watched what my body did. And what my body did is it scooped it up. I just grabbed it and I tucked it in the front of my pants. And I put my security jacket down over top of it. And without even thinking, I just stood back up like there was nothing wrong and locked the door and closed it. Easily deniable. I just saw the door was unlocked, open it, make sure there was nothing missing, and then I closed the door. And I started walking around again. I could feel the weight of this thing in my in my gut, you know. Anyway, checked a few more cars. Well, I didn't really. I just stared at the window blankly and tried to listen to something other than the hammer of my pulse. And then I made my way back to my car as casually as I could. Opened the door, got back inside, and kept on driving like nothing was wrong. It's funny because I took the gun out of my belt and I threw it under the driver's seat, you know. Which you'd think would be the dumbest thing to do, because that's, again, like I just said, the first place you look, but I guess you're not thinking, you know. So I drove around for another hour, and then I started thinking a little bit more clearly, and it became apparent that, you know, no sirens were going to go off, and no one was going to know what just happened. And now I have this pistol. I have a .45, which is an unregistered weapon designed solely for the purpose of killing people. It's loaded. There were only 6 bullets in it. I think the magazine holds 8, plus one in the pipe. I'm not sure. Anyways, I'm not afraid of guns. I think it's silly to be afraid of guns. I think that everyone should fire a gun. If you've never fired a gun, I highly recommend you do it. It's the pinnacle of our culture. It's what we care more about than anything else. We're a culture of violence. We believe in war. We value war. We like killing each other. We think it's fun. This is apparent with our video games, with our movies. We desire conflict, always. We like the whole concept. We think it's a good idea. So really, the gun is what mankind's all about, isn't it? I mean, when you get through the brass tacks. Really, I mean, it's true that when you run out of bullets, you got a fancy club, but you got to respect the power of the firearm. You really do. So I highly recommend everyone should fire a weapon, but more to the point, I now have this weapon, which, okay, first of all, did I steal this? I mean, I've gone through a whole gamut of emotions over this. First, I was afraid that I was going to get caught, which is always what you feel. And then I started feeling a little guilty, like, wait a minute, what if what I watched wasn't some kind of deal or something going down? What if that was just like a, I don't know what it would be, but what if I just stole somebody's pistol? You know what I mean? What if there was nothing illegal there and I just walked in, opened the door and took it? And now I'm a thief. Well, I've got I don't know if it's unregistered, but I've got a loaded .45 under passenger seat of a car. And I don't think it's there for, you know, bear attack or anything like that. You know, I think this is there to do some damage to somebody. So I took the gun. So at the very least, now, you know, whoever was going to have that gun doesn't have that gun anymore. Now I have the gun. It's an amazing feeling to hold a loaded weapon. Amazing. If you sit back and you think about it, it's even a more amazing feeling to have a loaded weapon with you in a public place. That is a crazy, crazy feeling. People say that, you know, well, it wouldn't really matter, but it does. You can see them all walking around you. You know, you get the same jeers. These people calling you a rent-a-cop, loser. Usual stabs of you, so you think you're tough. What a goof, what a geek. And all the while, you know that you've got the power to end this person's life with a finger twitch. Unbelievable. Frightening power. The power to kill. I wonder sometimes if that was what Tolkien was talking about with the One Ring, you know. If that's what the corruptible power, the power of the ring is the power to kill. And it corrupts whoever touches it, you know. But guns in of themselves are not evil. They're just a tool. You've got a mechanism to house an explosion. You have a chamber which, through one means or another, a bullet is loaded into. firing pin is struck. Firing pin strikes a primer. Primer sets off a small charge, which ignites the gunpowder within the shell casing. Depending on the type of powder and how much is in there, it depends on how quickly it burns. It doesn't explode. Black powder explodes, but normal gunpowder burns very, very quickly, producing a lot of gas. That gas ruptures the actual slug itself, the bullet of the shell, from its seal and pushes it down the barrel. Now the barrel can either be smooth, it can be rifled, or it can be in an octagon shape or some other method of causing the bullet to usually spin. If it's smooth, it doesn't spin, and not spinning therefore will not go as far. And the length of the barrel will stipulate how much pressure you have, how much time the bullet has time to build up pressure behind it. So if it's a short barrel, it won't have the foot per second velocity the longer barrel pistol would have. This pistol's got, like, it looks like a... It's a little longer than usual. I think their stock 8 inches, but this one looks like it's, I'd say, probably 10 inches long. It's a... If I were to see it in a picture, I'd think it was kind of pretty. It looks kind of cool, you know? Looks like something the Shadow might use. But seeing it here, in a family parking lot of a movie theater, it looks kind of ugly, you know? It looks like a hideous thing. Looks like a... Imagine finding a bloodied axe in a bathroom, you know? That's kind of the way it makes me feel, to look at this heavily polished firearm glinting in the streetlights. It's bizarre. And how do I feel about it? How do I feel about it? Why did I take the gun? Sean, why'd you take the gun? Why did you take the gun? I don't know. I guess I wanted to take it. That's a weird thing. I don't know why I took it. I really don't. I mean, I guess it was a good thing, right? Because whoever had the gun before me, you know, they probably would have hurt someone with it. You know, but who's to say I won't hurt someone with it? Who's to say I won't shoot myself with it? Or, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'm unstable. I guess I have to be accountable. I guess that's what being accountable is all about. Because if you have a weapon, then you have really the ultimate accountability. You have to be accountable with a weapon. That's, you know, that's what people who founded the U.S. Constitution, I think, we're talking about. You know, I don't claim to be really, really bright, but I think, I'm not sure, but I think that the right to keep and bear arms is about, you know, making sure that a government is accountable to its people. And at the highest level, the people are supposed to be able to rise up against a government that they feel is tyrannical. Now, a tyrannical government could mean... anything, I guess, but I don't think I live in tyranny here in Canada. I don't think that I'm, you know, suffering a whole lot. I think that actually I got it pretty good where I'm at. So I don't really want to rock the boat, you know. But still, you know, in the times of peace, a man should keep a sword by his side, you know. And this gun is... It's designed to kill. There's no two ways about this. This weapon, I mean, there's other rifles used to hunt, and there's rifles used for target shooting, but this particular pistol, the Colt Model 1911, is designed for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to kill people. They used to give officers pistols, you know. You know what they were for? They were to shoot their own soldiers. No kidding. British officers would carry pistols so that if men tried to desert or screamed at the horror of war and became what they call cowards back then, now they call it shell shock. It's a whole bunch of different phrases for it. But anyway, the officer was supposed to shoot the man, thereby motivating the other men to, you know, spur them on to victory. That was the whole idea. This gun, this gun's been fired before. It's been abused. I mean, it's still very functional. I mean, these guns are known for being really tough. And I wonder if this gun could talk, you know, what it would tell me. But I think it's a good thing I took it. I think that if there was a God or something, it was probably his will to do that. Now, what do I do with this gun now that I have it? I don't want to take it home. Can't leave it in the car. You know, I'm going to have to find something to do with this gun. Everyone's afraid of them now. You're not supposed to have them. They have a stigma of being evil. If I get stopped and pulled over the side of the road with a gun in Canada, are you kidding? But I don't think it should be like that, though, because it's not like that with swords, is it? I mean, really, you know, if I run out of bullets, all I got is a really fancy club. I got my sword at home that I kind of half made, half bought. It's an Ontario Knife Company sword, combat katana. I filed off the stupid little nubs that come with it and altered the sheath so it gave me a larger handguard. Anyway, I have that. That's my... If I was going to have to defend my household against the demons of the universe, I would probably grab that. That would be the weapon I would grab. And now, looking down at this massive, you know, a 45 is big, okay? I don't know if you've ever seen one, you know, you think, oh, it's just a pistol. No, they're pretty big, you know? And I always used to wonder in the old movies when the guy ran out of bullets, he'd throw the gun at the guy. You know, you ever see that? He'd run out of bullets, and he realized the gun was empty, so he'd throw the gun at his enemy. And I was like, why would he do that? Well, if you've ever held a handgun in your hand, if you somebody threw that at you and it hit you, you'd be dropped pretty good. I mean, if this thing was ever hooked at me, well, I don't know if I'd get up again. But, I don't know what to do. Did I do something illegal? Am I a criminal now because I have this gun? Because I took it off of this, you know, they were drug dealers. I know it was drugs. I know it was. There's so much drugs and all shit that goes on up here. I know it's drugs. So I disarmed a drug dealer without his knowledge. I stole from a drug dealer is what I did. I took something that didn't belong to me and it belonged to a drug dealer. Is that vigilante justice? Is that disarming the enemy? What did I just do there? Help me out. I think I did the right thing, but now I'm a criminal. Now can I take it to the cops? I'm afraid to take it to the cops because, you know, where'd you get this gun? Oh, this gun was used in a crime. Oh, look at your past. You're Sean Kennedy. You're an internet icon. Oh, what was the name of this group you used to run? Oh, what does that mean? Oh, great. Can you step over here, please? We'd like to talk to you. Perfect. My wife isn't going to let this gun in the house. I better not tell her. I don't know what to do with it. What would you do with it? What would you do with this gun? You can't take it anywhere. Would you hide it? Would you throw it in the ocean? Well, hang on now. Let's look at this from another angle. I mean, the world's kind of scary right now, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. For me, I love my wife more than anything else in the universe. She's the thing I never talk about, you know, because it's sacred to me. And I think about someone hurting my wife, and I go insane, you know, like I'd rather die. If someone broke into my house and was going to come from my wife, I'd kill them dead. And I know that may go against a lot of what I try to teach, but I'm sorry. You know, you have to defend your own. You have to. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, I mean, I love my wife. I couldn't imagine, you know, her being raped or something. I'd do 25 years, no problem. No problem, smile at it. Get raped in the shower, feeling not too bad about the whole thing. Why? Because my wife's okay. That's what love is. It's about sacrifice. And, so on that level, you know, I think I should hang on to this thing. I could probably hide it in the bedroom, you know, maybe cut away some drywall, put a fake piece of drywall up, and just keep the gun in a bag, a Ziploc bag. I put some WD-40 in it or something so it preserves it, so if in time of crisis I can get at the gun quick, you know, just in case I need it. Why would something like that be illegal? Why would it be illegal for people to have a firearm to defend themselves? Why would it be illegal to own firearms? More than that, really, shouldn't everyone have, definitely, you know, the defender of the household, really. I mean, whoever that would be, man, woman, whatever. I mean, a single mother, you'd think that single mothers should have, like, all kinds of guns, really. I mean, you know, they're pretty busy and they're run down and, you know, they could be victims. Maybe they should be the ones with the guns. Single moms with guns, eh? Of course, I think I'd have a hard time unloading this particular pistol to a single mother. It's kind of menacing looking. Maybe I'll just hang on to it. Maybe I should just take it home, strip it down with core components, keep it clean. Just keep it lying around. My life's bound to get pretty interesting. Maybe it's a gift from God. This is Independent Librarian Dynamic. Sean Kennedy. The fucking man. may serve to protect us all.